If you're trying to figure out why your body feels different, why your treatment isn't working, or whether this is menopause or something else, it's not because you're missing something. It's because no one has connected the dots for you. The Holistic Healing Summit is where that changes. In 1 week, you'll hear from the specialists people pay hundreds of dollars to see, and finally get the answers that actually apply to your body. Go to lssupportnetwork.org/WHS to register, because this isn't something you should have to do alone.
Hey, welcome. Thank you for coming to listen to the Lichen Sclerosis Podcast. My name is Kathy, and this is our journal of learning about and living with lichen sclerosis. Each week, I research or talk to somebody about lichen sclerosis and bring you the information. This week, we are talking to a vivacious, just fun to talk to lady. She is on the other side of the world from me, and I wish she was next door because I swear we would be best friends. Lou is from a rural part of Australia. She has an 18-month-old daughter, and she's a nurse by trade. She's also been recently diagnosed with LS. She has an amazing attitude, and she was so open when discussing her story. We talk about when she first noticed something was wrong, her first doctor's visit, which was crazy, and what it's been like mentally since she's been diagnosed. But before we get into our conversation, there's something that I need to address. It's been brought to my attention that one of you went to go and visit with Dr. Eden, and it did not go well. I won't go into details because that's not my story to tell. But in lieu of this information, I've decided to pull Dr. Eden's episodes and any posts that I have created promoting her. I only want to promote doctors who give us the quality of care that we deserve and that look out for our health the way they should. So please know that I no longer recommend Dr. Eden. I'm sure she has many happy clients, but even if one of us is mistreated, I can no longer promote her services. Now, let's get into this fun conversation I had with Lou. And make sure you stick around to the end because I have an announcement. All right, here we go. Thank you so much for joining me today. I know my listener is eager to hear your story.
Cool. Well, thanks for the invite, Kathy.
So you're newly diagnosed, but being a nurse, I'd imagine you've heard of LS before?
Actually, I hadn't at all.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I had symptoms for a heck of a long time. And like many other women who have LS, was dismissed as just having thrush or another issue, try this, try that. I had other long-standing complications with abscesses that had many operations. And it was after the birth of my daughter that I went to see a gynecologist down in a large metropolitan hospital. And she was the one who did the biopsy and told me that I have lichen sclerosis.
Let's dig into that a little deeper.
Yeah.
When would you say you realized you were having symptoms? When did you think something's not right?
Yeah, I reckon I would have been in my teens, maybe late teens.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I sort of think back and, yeah, always had this general sort of itch that was there. I was an early bloomer for when I first had sex. So there was like tearing and everything from the first time, and I thought that was normal. That was sort of the first time that I was like, oh, okay, maybe it's something else, maybe it's thrush, maybe it's, you know, yeah.
So, how soon after that did you go see your first doctor?
Oh, look, being a teenager, I was a little bit embarrassed, so it took me a while to get anywhere. So I probably didn't start really until I was in my 20s. And yeah, just to backtrack a little bit, I'd been having abscesses vaginally and labially and perianally since I was about 14, 15, I reckon. Yeah. So I'd seen doctors for that, and that would just be from incision and drainage. But I'd seen doctors for the simple drainage stuff, and they'd say, oh, it's just an ingrown hair. You know, I was misdiagnosed with having a Bartholin's abscess and was given surgery for that. And, yeah, it was always just dismissed as, oh, no, it's fine. Here you go. Put some cream on there and put some thrush ointment. Or, you know, yeah, really underplaying it. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, maybe it is just something simple. Maybe I am being dramatic. So,
story of our lives.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness. It's appalling.
Yes, yes. So during that time from in your teens to your 20s, you're having sex and you're still tearing, you're still having the pain and everything?
Yeah, yep. Which I thought was a normal thing. And sometimes it would be worse than others. But sometimes I'd get lucky and there'd be no tearing. But for the most part, there would at least be some sort of pain or discomfort.
And it didn't put you off to be like, I'm not having sex.
No, because it was like, you know, well, you know, I don't know. You just hear this thing of like, there's always pain with pleasure and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, and I just thought it was this normal thing.
Yeah, that's so important. We got to teach our daughters. We got to talk to our daughters.
Absolutely.
About these things. I have two young daughters. One's 8 and one's 10 now. And my 10-year-old, she already has her period.
Oh, yeah.
So having the discussion with her, of course, I feel like, okay, she's a little too young to have the full-on sex talk, but kind of letting her know that you have your period now, so technically you would be able to have a baby, so stay away from the boys.
Yeah,
you know.
Yes.
But,
yeah.
You know, and she's like, I don't want to have a baby. And I'm like,
yeah.
I'm definitely know that in a couple of years, I'm going to have to sit down with her and have the real talk with her and just introducing it with her.
Absolutely.
And super important to using the right terminology, the vulva versus the vagina. And
yes, exactly.
Teaching her not to be embarrassed and to feel comfortable to talk to us if they have any questions.
Because, absolutely.
I mean, why do you feel like you didn't go and talk to your mom when you were having these kinds of feelings?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a taboo thing to talk about. And really, it does come back to having that open and honest relationship with either your parent or a guardian or someone that you trust that you can go in and speak to about these things. And that in of itself is such an important thing to instill from a young age. Like you've said with your daughters, you give them the opportunity to speak openly and not be embarrassed or not be humiliated or feel ashamed.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So you're having the painful sex into your 20s and you go to the first doctor. What do you tell him? Was it a he or she?
I've seen mostly blokes over the time. So, yeah. So,
do you remember the experience with the first doctor?
Yeah. It was not great. Yeah. I got the, well, maybe he's too big for you.
You know, you are not the first one to say that.
I know. Wow. Yeah. It makes me absolutely cringe now. I'm just like, that is the most unprofessional thing you can say, and you know, misinformed, and it's humiliating to hear. And
absolutely,
like how does that, you know, give me some scientific evidence? Oh, what, you can't? Okay, why are you saying it to me then? So
like I've said before, a baby comes out of there, and I know, to put it bluntly, there's no man's dick who's big as a baby. So
exactly.
Don't give me that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do not say that to me. That's ridiculous.
Exactly. So, so I was like, oh, okay. And then after that, I sort of stopped trying to talk about that because I'm like, well, I've tried talking to a healthcare provider about this, and I've been dismissed. And I was studying nursing at that stage as well. And I was so frustrated with not being heard and not being validated and not being just acknowledged that my experience was real and that was happening.
Yeah, so when's the next time you went to the doctor?
Yeah. It was probably a few years afterwards, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And again, to backtrack, one of the further complications is I contracted herpes when I was young as well. So that was another complication that added to this. So I went to the doctor and I, you know, have to give your whole health history and everything. And I said, oh, yeah, you know, and I had genital herpes. And again, automatically that was sort of, oh, yeah, you know, well, it must be that you've got an outbreak. So here you go. Here's your antivirals. Get on your way sort of thing. And I'm like, no, well, it's not. I can feel the difference between it. I'm well-versed in my symptoms. I understand them. You know, I'm not having that. This is different. And this has been ongoing.
Yeah, the fact that you're a nurse and you know what to look for should have at least given you more validation than just me off the street not knowing anything. The fact that they still gave you the runaround, that's crazy.
Yeah, look, I honestly don't think that my credentials should come into it because we as women know our bodies best.
Right.
And that is such an undervalued thing in health, I find. That's been women, you know, we live with our bodies every day and we understand them best and we know them best and we can often give a really articulate and historical rundown of what seems to be happening, but we get dismissed with that so bloody often. And it's unfortunate. That's why we end up having so many problems, is because we are still sadly dismissed as being, you know, hysterical.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely agree. So you went through all of your 20s without being diagnosed.
Yep.
And they're saying it's just part of the herpes. What other diagnosis did you have within that time?
Yeah, thrush was another big one. That was a consistent thing of, here, have some thrush cream, try that, see what happens. Increase your probiotics. Yeah, so that seemed to be the two big things that, yeah, were just recurrent.
And then you get pregnant with your daughter and you're how old again?
Oh, I'm 31.
How was the LS during your pregnancy?
I was actually talking to my specialist about this because I felt it really ramped up through pregnancy. Mm. And she was saying that generally, for whatever reason, whilst pregnant, you can actually have an alleviation of the symptoms. But I had quite a horrific pregnancy. I had hyperemesis gravidarum throughout the whole duration. And I had lots and lots of other sort of complications off of it. And she said that because of how under stress my body was through pregnancy, that may very well have exacerbated what was happening.
What were your major symptoms during pregnancy?
Lots of itching in particular. That has always been a most prominent one for me. And burning as well. And that was something that I hadn't really had a lot of beforehand. And actually, that was when I was told I had UTIs, but I didn't have a lot of other sort of clinical symptoms with it. And my urine always showed up pretty clear. So in retrospect, I'm like, oh, maybe that was the LS rearing its ugly head. Yeah, so that seemed to be the two major things that I had then as well.
Then you have your daughter. And tell us what happens.
Just to backtrack a little bit, so I developed quite a major abscess in my left labia. I was 28 weeks pregnant. I had emergency surgery when I was pregnant with her, and then had to be flown down to the large metropolitan hospital. And I was there for, I think, 10 days and thought that was resolved. And then after I'd given birth, I developed another abscess at 3 weeks, 5 weeks and 8 weeks postpartum. just because I like to make things complicated for myself. So I had surgery for the first two of them were just a simple incision and drainage. And the third one was when I had the fistulotomy. That's where they found the fistula. And that was from my anus to somewhere in my vaginal wall. And that was a long, long recovery period. And I wonder in retrospect if that is because of like how itchy I was and how much I was scratching and how sensitive the skin and everything was around there and any tears that I couldn't see or, yeah.
during that time, did you notice any discoloration, any kind of the cigarette paper kind of skin that they say is a common symptom?
In all honesty, I had not looked at my vagina or my vulva for a long time. I hadn't. So I can't say that. It wasn't something that I really thought to do. So, yeah. And even now.
So even now you still don't look?
Yeah, and that's more so because I'm afraid. So, yeah. So when I was diagnosed, I kind of stuck my head in the sand. And
for 2 years I did. My doctor, she had gave me my medication and she said use it when needed, and I said okay, cool. You know, my main issue was itching, and I said okay, I'm just going to use it when I need it. I did, and I went about like if nothing happened, and then 2 years later my symptoms erupted, and then I got scared, like, what the heck is going on? Because I knew nothing. And that's when I started down this path and I started the podcast and I started researching and I found everything out. And
yeah,
they don't tell you these things and you don't realize it's something major that you got to keep an eye on.
Absolutely.
So I encourage you to try to start looking, even if it's once every other month or once every 3 months. I know I was speaking to a researcher that I had recently interviewed, Leah Mitchell, and she was saying they recommend you take a picture every 3 months so that way you can compare and give it to your doctor.
Yes.
And they can kind of look and see if there's any kind of issues, especially with you having the abscess.
Absolutely.
I would definitely recommend that.
Absolutely. And that's something that I'm being a bit more vigilant with now. I had my last appointment with her a couple of weeks ago, and she actually took a surprise biopsy from me because she had seen in my perineum that there was an ulcer there that just wasn't healing. And she was concerned about it. And she's like, Lou, it doesn't look good. And I'm like, oh. So she took a biopsy and I had to wait that horrible agonizing week to find out if it was cancer. And thank God it wasn't.
But, oh, thank goodness.
Yeah, yeah. But that scared the absolute pants off me. And look, my doctor is, for lack of a better word, because we know there's no LS specialists, but she runs the vulva clinic and her specialty, or, you know, her knowledge is LS.
That's awesome.
It is. I'm really, really lucky to have finally found her. But she's not backwards with coming forwards, and she'll tell you what you need to do, why you need to do it, the importance of checks, what changes to look for, the reasons you're on the medicines and everything. She's brilliant.
So you got diagnosed after your daughter was born, and what was the treatment that they gave you?
Madeline, my daughter, she was 11 months old when I was diagnosed, and I was started on diprazone, and I was to be using that twice a day for I think it was 3 months to start with. And then I was to see her again and review and see if we could start reducing that to every other day. And unfortunately, I'm sure you have a very similar thing with public health, is even though she wanted to see me in 3 months, the appointments weren't available for until I think 5 or 6 months down the track. And again, I was in denial about the whole diagnosis. So I was just sticking my head in the sand and oh, no, she'll be right. No, I can't deal with this right now. So I used the dip for a little while and then tape it off. And then when I finally got around to seeing her, yeah, she was like, oh, maybe we'll change to the Advair ointment.
Did you tell her that you didn't use the medication properly?
Yes, I did. I was quite honest with her.
That's so good. So for my listener, please, please, please use your medication properly. Use the complete schedule absolutely that your doctor gives you, because that's the only way that you know the medication is going to work.
Exactly.
Apply it properly. Use it on the proper schedule.
Yes,
don't
exactly
quit when you feel better. It's just like penicillin. You got to use the whole schedule, even if you feel better.
Exactly. So Yeah, so she was like, Lou, I'm going to have to give you a smack for that one. I'm like, I just said it. It's okay.
That's awesome that you guys have that kind of relationship that she can, you know, talk to you like that.
Cool. No, she's pretty cool. But yeah, look, it is important. I think even more broadly than just seeing, you know, a gynae or a dermatologist, it's really important to look at your mental health aspect as well. That's something that I'm going to speak to my gynae about that when I see her next, because the mental health and emotional aspect of it is so undervalued sometimes. And I've really, really struggled since diagnosis, because I've looked at what could potentially be like with the atrophy and everything. I'm like, I don't feel feminine. I don't feel womanly. I don't feel desirable. I feel scared and shriveled. That's such a heavy load to carry a lot of the time.
Absolutely.
Don't be afraid to reach out for mental health support.
Absolutely. Actually, I run the Lichen Sclerosis Support Network, and we have recently pivoted to where I'm actually offering a program. I call it Get Okay with LS. And it's a mental, emotional health program to go through the different aspects. First, we figure out what it is that you're dealing with, what your emotions are that you want to get over. You set your own personal goals of where do you want to be. And then we work on getting you the information and the skills that you need to get to that point. It's very individualized, and we do it as a small group. So you're doing it with other LS women. It's live lessons and it's live meetups. We meet up twice a week, and it's kind of like a small group therapy for LS for your mental health.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So that's something that I'm rolling out to the public starting in August. This is the first time I'm actually talking about it.
Oh, well.
Thank you for bringing that up. Right now, I'm going through it with the people who were already part of my initial membership, and it's going amazing. The women are getting so much out of it, and I cannot wait to offer it to the public, because I know it's going to make a difference.
Absolutely.
I know it is.
Absolutely.
Because mental health is huge for me. It can definitely make as much damage as the physical symptoms.
Absolutely.
Because it sneaks up on you.
It does.
You know?
It does.
You don't know that it's happening, and it can ruin your relationships, not just your partner's relationships, your family relationships, because you could turn into a different person.
Absolutely.
You're angry, you're frustrated, and you lash out.
Yeah, exactly.
So my hope is, no, not my hope. I know that this program will help to transform women who are struggling to a place of resilience, acceptance, and have that security and control of their disease.
Absolutely. That sounds like such a wonderful, wonderful program. And many women are going to benefit from that, because talking about the physical symptoms is easy. You know, once you can identify them and roll with them, you know what they are. But like you said, the mental health side of things and the emotional side of things, it's so insidious. And like I said, it's a grief. It can fluctuate. And some days you're going along okay, and then another day you're falling in a heap for whatever reason. And it's wonderful, absolutely wonderful that you've created this.
And at the end of the program, we create a plan for your new normal. Just like you said, it fluctuates. So you create your own individualized plan of, okay, if I get a flare, this is how I'm going to deal with it. Step 1, 2, 3. If I start going back and down that spiral, these are my tactics for catching myself and getting myself back to a good place. So knowing that we all are going to have those down days, we create a plan for you to get back up out of that hole so you're not stuck down there.
Absolutely. That just sounds so wonderful. And women are just going to be much more empowered to take control, not only of their LS, but the emotions and the psychological aspect of it as well, and feel much more empowered to talk to their providers and say, look, I'm really struggling because of this. and reach out.
Yes. And actually, that's week three of the program, is advocating for yourself in healthcare, because a lot of the frustration and the anger and the fear and anxiety comes from dealing with your healthcare professionals and not being secure in their level of care for you and feeling like they may miss something or they're not treating me to the standard that I feel I need to be treated. So giving women the tools to say, no, the doctor works for you.
Yeah, exactly.
And so having the plan saying, okay, this is what's going to happen when I go to the doctor and I'm not leaving there until this happens, gives them that control and that security that says, I'm going to get the care that I deserve.
Exactly, exactly. And that right there goes back to, you know, women feeling like they are being acknowledged and being validated, yes, and that they know their bodies best.
Yes.
And,
absolutely.
You know, we all have a right to be listened to and to be given the dignity and respect that we deserve.
So, first, let me say, I can totally relate to the feeling of, I'm not sexy. Am I still woman enough? All those negative feelings, I totally feel it. Those are actually my triggers, and what I'm working on is my self-esteem. And I say getting my sexy back.
Oh, I like that.
That's what I'm working on. All the rest of this stuff I've been able to master. But I think we all have a big trigger we have to keep working on. So I completely understand that.
Absolutely.
Other than that, did you have any other emotions or feelings, any mental health issues with LS?
Yeah, it's just a real heavy feeling a lot of the time. I think when I was first diagnosed, there was a lot of fear because you sort of are given this diagnosis that you're at an increased risk of cancer. You know that the research is still saying that, yeah, it's mostly postmenopausal women.
And here you are in your 20s, early 30s.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right?
So there was a lot of fear there, and I suppose a bit of despair as well, because again, like this is supposed to be when I'm at my sexual prime, if for lack of a better word,
right,
where I'm supposed to be feeling most confident and like, yeah, I've just had a baby, but I still want to be intimate with my partner. So it was like that had been taken away from me of, okay, well, you've got this now and you're going to shrivel up and everything's going to atrophy and everything's going to disappear into itself and you're just not going to be attractive at all. So it's a real heavy feeling to carry. Yeah.
So 7 months down, how are you feeling today? Are you still feeling those same feelings or have they gotten better?
No, I have days where it's a lot more difficult to manage emotionally, but I found a brilliant video for my other half to watch about lichen sclerosis. And it really helped him to understand what was happening, what my fears were, and the changes to look out for, because he's happy to help me look as well for any changes. So it's helped him to understand where I'm up to, and he's been very patient. There are some days where I'm coping much better and some days where I'm not. But I think now that I've had time to process it, and particularly after I was given the cancer scare, I'm much more diligent and much more compliant, for lack of a better word.
Good. Very good.
With using my ointments. So, yeah, I'm scared still a little bit of the future, what that will mean, but I'm just telling myself to sort of take it day by day at the moment.
That's all I can do. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I definitely want you to share that video with me so I can put it in the show notes in case my listener has a partner who they can show that to.
Lovely.
So I'll definitely have that. You only saw your doctor a couple of weeks ago,
yeah,
right?
So you've
been doing well with your medication for the last
couple of weeks, right? I have, okay.
How are you feeling?
Look, it's actually surprising just how quickly the ointment can take away the real severity of the itching. Like, it's still there and I still get a bit of tingling, But it actually takes away a majority of it quite quickly. So I'm feeling pretty good at the moment. And I'm seeing her again in another couple of weeks, particularly because of what the ulcer was looking like. She wanted to see me in 6 weeks' time. So I'm feeling pretty good about it. And the symptoms are, you know, still there, but starting to become much more manageable now.
Awesome. Mm. And will you share your doctor's name?
Yeah.
For my listeners in Australia?
Yeah, no worries. She is Dr. Kathy Cook with a K, K-A-T-H-Y, and she works at the Mercy Hospital for Women in Heidelberg.
I'll have it in the show notes so that everybody can definitely go and find this lady because she sounds amazing.
Yes, yes. And like most of us, it takes so much time to find someone awesome and someone that will listen and someone that understands. But when you do, it is just fantastic.
Yes. Never let go. Yeah. Like she moves, I'm coming with you. Exactly. Where are we going?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Get some room in that suitcase for me, please.
Yes, please. Is there anything else you'd like to share?
I think I just want to say to any other women that are out there who are, you know, recently diagnosed, it does get better. It can be a slow process, but, you know, don't be like me and actually be diligent with your treatment regime. Talk to your doctor about the mental health side of things and really let them know that you're struggling and seek some support for it. And I'm really, really grateful that I found such a good support network, but at the same time, I'm really sorry that we're all in this boat together.
Yes. Amen. I completely agree.
Yeah.
Yes. And I will be releasing more information as the month goes on about the new program, Get Okay with LS. And I'm so excited. I can't wait to just start helping so many women get through this.
Because it's
just like you said, when you first get diagnosed, don't despair. LS is manageable and controllable, and it does not need to take over your life. You can still have a family. You can still have a good marriage. You can find ways to counter all of the symptoms and still be a full blown sexual being.
Absolutely.
Period. Period. So, Lou, I am thankful for you coming to talk to us today. I had so much fun.
No, I thank you for the opportunity. And look, it's awareness and I had a ball as well. So thank you.
I want to thank Lou one more time for coming, being open and sharing. She's just a joy to talk to. I swear I haven't laughed or smiled as much in an interview yet. So cat's out of the bag. As you've heard, the Lichen Sclerosis Support Network is now hosting a 5-week program to get okay with LS. And I cannot wait to help you if you need it. If you want to get more information, you can visit the website at lssupport.net. And it's got all the information you need, including pricing, what the program is about in detail, and shoot me any questions. I cannot wait. The next group is going to start on August the 10th. So I'm going to drop more information in next week's episode. And make sure you follow me on Facebook. I'm at Lichen Sclerosis Support Network. Or on Instagram at Lichen Sclerosis Podcast. Because I'll be dropping more information the closer we get to the next start date, which is August the 10th. If you're struggling with the mental side of lichen sclerosis, please reach out. I really want to help you to get back to your normal living. Don't let LS steal your light. Let's get to the root causes of all these negative emotions so you can get back to living the life that you want. I hope you have an amazing week. And I will talk to you next time. Bye.